verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, It is he. He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had held a bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. What a tragic situation we have before us in this character, Judas. A darker deed never stained the hands of a human being than what Judas Iscariot did. And you stop to think of what this man was and the privileges he had, and yet how he ended up. It's a tragic, melancholy story. A man guilty of the most horrible, diabolical crime in the history of the universe, Judas Iscariot. He was the devil's undercover agent. The devil had a front seat to look at the personality and performance of the Lord Jesus Christ. People generally want the front seat that there's going to be a big performance or act. They want a close look at all the personalities on the stage. And the devil had a front seat in Judas Iscariot, watching and observing the Lord Jesus Christ and everything he did. And he found nothing in the Son of God, and yet he denied him. He betrayed him. How sad and how sad. Think of the stabbing pain, what it must have meant to the Lord Jesus, when one he knew so well was going to betray him. Three times in your Bible, the Lord Jesus was troubled in spirit. He was troubled in soul. There was a stabbing pain when one of his loved ones died, and that was Lazarus, for he loved Lazarus. When Lazarus died, and the Lord went to the tomb, that he groaned in spirit. He was stabbed, a painful stab when a loved one was dead. He also was troubled as he thought of the cross. There he was to be stabbed again, in the brow by the thorn, in the hands and feet by the nails, and in his side by the spear. Stabbing pain. But he was stabbed here. He's troubled. Did we not read that? The Lord was troubled. Because, and it was right after supper, after they had the last Passover, and he introduced the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus then, after the Passover, after the Lord's Supper, he was troubled. What stabbed him? A stab of pain. One of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to give me up to mine enemy. That was a sad thing. Then the searching perception we have in verse 11 says in verse 11, for he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all free. He knew, he perceived, he knew among the 12 there was one who was going to betray him. One could go into evidence in the Old Testament, we will before we're through, showing you how the Old Testament scriptures predicted what Judas was going to do. And the Lord Jesus knew the Old Testament scriptures. Thus you see the Lord Jesus and his searching perception. The others didn't perceive anything about Judas. There he had gone with them for 3.5 years. And not one of the other disciples detected anything. Judas was from Judea. All the other disciples were Galileans. And Judas was selected to be the secretary. And none of the other disciples, none of them respected Judas. But the Lord perceived something in Judas that was not true. What a searching perception. But then what a serious problem. How was the Lord? And you have that in verse 26. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I dip it. When he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now the sop was a gesture of friendship. He dipped a piece of bread into the vine and he gave it to Judas. A symbol of friendship. And yet, the others didn't even know then, or realize, or believe, or perceive that Judas was a crook. The Lord had a serious problem. Can I expose him when none of the others suspicion him? How am I going to do this? After 3.5 years, unveiled, that in our midst has been a devil, a crook. The Lord had a problem. But he solved that problem as Jesus did. When you stop to think of how when he said one of you shall betray me, and they all, even to John who leaned on Jesus' bosom, said, is it me? No one suspected Judas. No one pointed the finger at Judas. What an undercover man he was. How closely he must have watched every move and every word. Not one word, not one deed. And you remember they were sent out two by two. We don't know the one that Judas went along with. But even the one that he went with didn't perceive anything wrong. So the Lord had a problem to reveal who it was that was going to betray. And then you have the sad party in verse 30. It says in verse 30, he then having received the sop went immediately out, and it was night. And what a sad, sad night that was. It was a night without a dawn when Judas went out. It was night. Judas had turned his back on the light. And now it was night, eternal night. But Judas and Jesus will meet again. For what we have here is not the end of the story. Not the end of the story. Was Judas a Christian? Some people will try and tell us, yes, he was a Christian. No, he never was. A prejudiced mind will ignore all the evidence in the Bible that Judas was never a Christian. I remember when I first came south up in North Carolina in Winston-Salem, I met a preacher. He was a very nice fellow and a good preacher, and there were only 4 in that huge worldwide denomination that held the office that he had. 3 others beside himself. And I went to hear him preach. And he preached a man could be saved and lost again. And his argument was Judas Iscariot. That Judas was once a Christian and he lost his salvation. That was one of his arguments. The other was his own experience as a preacher. So many people had professed under this preaching and were so bright, and they went back. And these were the two points that he labored to try and prove his argument that people could be saved and lost. Well, as to the first one, we can dissipate that. And I told him he was wrong. Judas was never a Christian. Never. But on the other point, he had had lots of experiences about people who made a profession and went back. How did he know that they were saved? All preachers are evangelists. Who do a lot of evangelistic work, and others who do even personal work, have seen people make pretty good professions and not stand up. I can tell you dozens of them. At the time, I thought they were genuine, but they went back. They turned out to be false because they were false all along. They turned out to be hypocrites because they were hypocrites all along. Now, some real Christians do backslide. There's no question. And the Lord in His grace will restore them if they want to come back. But a whole lot that make professions were never born again to begin. And yet this man used that argument that so many people had professed in his meeting, and he said, I know they were saved. And he said they lost their salvation. So he used Judas and his experiences to try and back up his point. Well, his points can be proven false. His whole doctrine flops. And the argument of Judas is very clear. Judas was never a born-again child of God. And as to the other, that he knew that those who professed in his meeting were Christians, no preacher can say that. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And I read in my Bible, some go so far as to say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in Thy name. In Thy name we've done many wonderful works. We've cast out devils. He said, depart from you, I never knew. A lot of people make professions, and they're not genuine. I haven't seen the books up in heaven. So when a person professes to be saved, I can't be too dogmatic. Unless years prove it. But a lot of those this brother referred to, they had faded out like a firecracker only a few weeks after they made a profession. There's a big difference between a star and a firecracker. A star is permanent. Firecracker flares up, fades out, falls back down. Man made a firecracker. God makes the star. And the star, he speaks of his own as the stars. The stars that will shine forever and ever. All man-made converts are going to come back down. Flare up! Fade out! Fall back. They never had the life of God in them to begin with. This is a serious, solemn thing. When you stop to think of Judas, just look at Judas. What the scriptures have to say about this betrayer of the Lord Jesus. He was an unbeliever. All you have to do is read John 6 and 64. I'll read it for you. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Christ knew from the very beginning that Judas was an unbeliever. That he had never been saved. That's what your Bible says. And I'll prove later on what the Old Testament has to say about that. Yes, here we find the Lord declaring from the beginning, Judas, believe not. But also, Christ said he hath a devil. In John 6 and 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And that was a year before Judas betrayed the Lord. And the Lord says, he's a devil. Isn't that amazing? Judas was never called a saint. He was unregenerate. As we have in verse 10, we spoke on that last week. The two phases referred to in feet washing. They that are bathed, born again, they need not save to wash their whole body a second time, just converted once. But he says just to keep their feet clean, a clean walk. A clean walk. But here's Judas. He never was bathed. The Lord said that. He was never born again. And this was a year before he came out and betrayed the Lord. Unregenerated, he said, you're clean, but not all. Judas was an unclean man. Furthermore, he was a thief. The Lord says that. Not that he cared for the poor, but that he was a thief when he had the bag and he bare what was put there. He couldn't say that any of the other 11 were thieves. And Judas called worship waste. No child of God would do that. Only the devil would do a thing like that, and that's exactly what he did. And also Judas was possessed by the devil. Verse 27 of our chapter tells you that, and after the supper, Satan entered into him. That's a sad thing, isn't it? And over in Luke 22:3 says this, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12. You know, this is a serious thing. Satan entered into it. There was a time when he had a demon. But there was a time when Satan took over. When a Christian is born again, when a child of God accepts Christ, it simply means this, that Christ enters into that Christian. And Christ stays in that Christian. That Christian has eternal life. When Christ enters a human heart, and that person by faith receives the Savior, it's Christ in that person. The hope of glory. When the devil takes over, and when the devil enters a person, it's damnation. He's an apostate. There's no further hope. He's a child of the devil. And for him, there is no hope. That's an apostate. In other words, Judas sold out to the devil. Up till now, the door was left open. Up to now, he had a chance. If I see anything in this study, it's the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. For 3.5 years, Judas was under the surveillance of the Son of God. And as Christ was under the surveillance of Judas, at the end, Judas could say, I betrayed innocent blood. But Christ said of Judas, you're a devil. You're a thief. You're an apostle. Oh, the patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. What patience he waited to the last. Gave Judas every opportunity to confess what he was and to receive Christ as his Savior. You know, he's called in your Bible the son of perdition. That means utter destruction. the son of eternal damnation. Christ says in John 17, all that my Father has given to me, I've kept, and none of them is lost, save the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And he referred to Satan, or to Judas. You know, only once you find that expression, it's over in 2 Thessalonians, and it refers to the man of sin, the son of perdition. And it refers to Judas. Now, some try and tell us that Judas is going to be raised up and will be the coming man of sin. I don't believe it for a minute. It means that Judas was taken over by the devil. Just like that coming man of sin, Satan the dragon will give all his power unto that coming beast. He's going to be taken over by Satan. And that's what happened here relative to Judas. The devil took over. Judas, you had your chance. I left the door open. Finally, you made your choice, and that's it. And it says he went to his own place in Acts 1:25. He went to his own place. He was out of place among the disciples, especially when you come to the account in Acts 1, after the Spirit of God came and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Judas was certainly out of place there. Out of place among the disciples. Out of place in heaven. Friend, if you were to go to heaven, or if you could, you're not going to unless you're born there. But if it were possible for you to go to heaven without the new birth, you'd be out of place. You wouldn't be happy in heaven. You've got to have a nature to fit you for heaven. That's why Christians will be at home in heaven. Can I prove that? Yes. You don't like a good spiritual atmosphere very much. You're a little uncomfortable. Aren't you? That's a good way. Real Christians like a spiritual atmosphere. They like to hear the Bible preached. Sinners says no. Just so much. You know, it's very significant. We noticed last week how the disciples were quarreling among themselves. Who should be the greatest? They wanted position. But John leaned on Jesus' bosom on this occasion. I don't find them striving for that position that John held on Jesus' bosom. Oh yes, that's intimacy with Christ. I don't think John had much competition. And friends, there's not much competition today for someone who wants to be as close to the Lord as he can get. Oh yes, struggling for place and prominence among men. But how many are seeking to be as close to the Lord as possible to get? Like John! Just like John, who leaned on Jesus. Judas, he fell from office. He didn't fall from grace. He was never in grace, and grace was never in him. Think of what he saw. He saw the Lord perform miracles. Saw a lot of things in his life. He's heard the Lord preach the gospel. And he himself undoubtedly preached John's gospel, the gospel of the coming day. The Bible says that. You say, how could the Lord use an unsaved man like, evidently, Judas? What about Balaam's ass? The Lord used it to speak. What about the raven that brought food to Elijah? God can use even animals and birds if he wants to. And undoubtedly Judas did some of the things the other disciples did in the way of service. But he wasn't a child of God. Yet we have committed many things in our name, done many wonderful works, casting out devils. I never knew. Not that I knew you once, but I don't know you now. Think of the privileges of Judas. Unparalleled opportunity. Mixing with the favorite Jew, the 12 disciples.
by within a select circle, wasn't it? Some people mix with real Christians, favored Jews, rubbed shoulders with those who were really born again.
Think about it. Judas did that.
And to think, too, that the Judas was called by Christ as the Father. He witnessed the power of Christ. He saw the Lord perform miracles. He heard the invitations of Christ and the warnings of Christ.
My, what a warning he got on this occasion in Matthew 26:24. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it is determined. But woe unto that man by whom the Son is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And Judas was listening.
Woe be unto that man who's going to betray me. It would have been better had he never been born. And he heard that a year before he betrayed the Lord. He got a severe warning.
When I became of age, and I knew I was old enough to be saved, I had been under conviction, I knew what the gospel was. I laid awake at night wishing that I'd never been born. I wish I'd have never been born or died as a child. Now I'm old enough to understand I'm responsible. I'm faced with Jesus Christ.
And I've got to do something with it. I've got to accept him or reject him. I can't use the fact I'm young. I had many times wished I'd never been born because I'm faced with something now. I've got to be. I've either got to say yes or no. My eternal destiny rests on me. Many a time I wished I'd never been born or that I'd have died. Now I'm responsible.
Friend, you're responsible too to make a decision in this all-important matter. Think of his bargain. What did he get? 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, according to the Old Testament. He got the name of a traitor to die, desecration of all men, undying desecration of all men. A traitor. What undying contempt Judas has been held by the human race since he betrayed his Lord. Years ago when I was up in Chicago having meetings, this was over 40 years ago, I was taken to the huge stockyards in Chicago by one of the Christians. He said, I want to show you something. My, they kill thousands of sheep there every day as well as cattle and other things. He took me where they took the sheep in. And about 100 sheep were driven into this yard. And there was one goat. And when they got their quota of sheep, that goat went through a door. A gate was opened. And all the sheep followed that one goat. And up he went, and up he went. When he got up next to where they were going to slaughter the sheep, he ducked through a door and it slammed behind him. And the sheep couldn't follow. And then they were slaughtered. And he went back on down and later on took up another one. You know what they call that goat? Judas. He betrayed those sheep to death. They even called a goat Judas. That's the reputation of the man who betrayed Lord Jesus. He's lost the respect of humanity. That's what he's got. And he's going to get hell and its horror. That's what he's going to get.
Didn't pay, did it? Poor Judas. He made an awful decision. That's what he lost. He lost the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's got. Now what he lost? He lost the Lord Jesus Christ. He lost salvation from sin. He lost peace with God. He lost everlasting life. He's going to lose heaven and glory. He didn't get much. He threw the 30 pieces of silver away when he saw what he had done. Whatever you're taking today, the devil's offering you instead of Jesus Christ. Time will come when you'll throw it away and don't satisfy it. That happened with Judas. And little and Amy got. What he lost? Oh yes, he lost the Lord Jesus. He lost these wonderful things he preached about salvation, peace with God, everlasting life. But the awful deed in the upper room, the betrayal. The Lord had been in Gethsemane's garden. Now he's going to the cross. A band meets them, headed by Judas. Judas had given them the sign, when I kiss that man, that's him. Unlike it was a knife, was. He didn't want to make a mistake. He didn't want the crowd to apprehend the wrong person. They got back in those days, they didn't have that very much alike. Judas said, whosoever I shall kiss, that's him. Yes. And Judas walked up to the Lord Jesus and he kissed him. Just before he reached Christ, Christ said, Judas, friend, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Was ever heaven and hell so close together? Jesus, the Son of God, Judas, he kissed the very door to heaven and went to hell. He kissed the Lord Jesus. How's that? Then what about his remorse? Yes, he saw what he had done, and it was too late.
Did he think somehow the Lord Jesus was going to wiggle out of this situation? He'd get the money and Christ by one of his miraculous escapes, like on previous occasions when they tried to kill him, he escaped out of the hand. Was Jesus hoping that he'd pull one of those again and he'd have the money and Christ wouldn't die? But now he finds out it's too late.
And he takes the money and throws it down and he ran out and committed suicide. What was his confession? I'm going to read you some verses in the New Testament over in Acts 1. Now notice this. In Acts 1, 16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David, this is 1,000 years before Christ, the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David, before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, 30 pieces of silver, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Hazeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric or office let another take. 1,000 years before Judas denied the Lord, the Bible recorded it. Isn't that something? And exactly came to pass, just the way the Bible said. His doom was prophesied, and so is yours. Judas is going to be in hell because of what he did to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why souls like these millions have gone to hell. Since Judas, because they rejected Jesus Christ. You may not go to
heart and do what Judas did, but you've got a subtle heart. The same voice that said to Judas,
betray him. That's what we read in our text. Satan said unto Judas, now is the time. The same voice, Satan's voice, is saying unto you,
don't you accept Christ. Put it off. Postpone. Postpone.
And you're obeying. My Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. As the Old Testament scriptures prophesied this concerning Judas, his very death and how he committed suicide, evidently the rope broke over the hill and down he went and split his body open. Yes, the same book that predicted Judas' death 1,000 years before is predicting your end if you reject Jesus Christ. Take him hand and foot. Find him, take him away and cast him in an outer darkness that weeps a daily gnashing of teeth. That's said about all who die without Christ. I know we've all been acquainted with the crash of that big plane recently out of Chicago. I've often thought in reading this incident this past week, what a relief it was to the other 11 when Judas was exposed. For at the table there was suspense. When the Lord says, one of you will betray me, the disciples all began searching their hearts. Is it me? Is it me? And they said, Lord, is it me? He's the one to ask. Don't go to your preacher and ask him if you're saved. Don't go to any relative and ask them if you're saved. These disciples said, Lord, is it me? Am I on? Ask the Lord, he'll let you know. Simply this, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He'll let you know. And what was condemnation to Judas was salvation to the others, in the sense their doubts fled. What a relief. When the crook was discovered, the others wasn't me. What a relief. This brings me to what I want to say. What a relief it is when one is saved. Now, some of you remember this D.C. accident. You likely saw this in the Albany paper. The last words of the pilot on that fatal flight. The last words was damn. I don't think that pilot was a Christian. He never would have used that word. Christian would have said, Lord. But here's a man at the controls of a plane loaded with human beings, and he damned. And he was. Something happened that interested me, and I cut it out of the paper. Wanda Horan, in her 60s, was to have gone on that flight. Because she'd been doing it for years, she wrote to see some of her relatives out in California. She'd gone on that same flight Friday night. But her travel agent called her up and said, listen, it'd be a lot better for your relatives out there if you take the next flight early Saturday morning. Your plane would get in there and they don't have to work on Saturday and they'd be able to meet you. Furthermore, you'll save $11. And she said, I talked to my travel agent, and I didn't have any idea. But I changed my mind. She said, all of a sudden, I did. There she sat with her baggage all ready. An hour and a half later, the news flashed. The plane crashed and everybody killed. There's the picture of her, sitting there, with all her luggage packed, and the terrible look on her face. What did she do? She went to the phone, or rather when she heard the news, she said, oh my God. Oh my God.
I thought I was saving $11. I saved my life on that decision. She called her travel agent.
This is what she said. She said, "I am so glad I listened to you." She said, "I am so glad I listened to you."
If she hadn't listened to her travel agent, she'd have been with all those other charged bodies. Friend, you're on a flight. A more serious flight. And the devil's your planet. And you are trying to go to heaven by your good work, your good life, church members.
Let me tell you one thing. That travel agent didn't know that plane was going to crash. She likely did it out of good business. Not that she loved that person. Didn't. But I'll assure you one thing. Your plane's going to crash. And it could crash any day. That little old ticker stop. And the devil's your pipe. And he's hoping you stay on board until you do crash. And you'll be with the devil and his angels. What I say this morning has no connection with this.
I'm saying to you out of love, you better cancel the flight you're on and take another. With Jesus Christ the pilot. I'm saying it out of love. Because you're going to die.
I wouldn't preach as I do if I didn't love your soul. And I would to God that some of you would come up after the meeting and say, "Brother Wilson, I'm glad I took your advice. Never mind saving $11. I my soul say, will you take my advice? Will you get on this plane of going to glory with Jesus Christ the pilot? There'll be no crashes when you have him as a pilot.
Will you take my advice? My advice is based on the Bible. I trust you'll be like that lady in Chicago. Oh, the relief that'll come over your heart when you know you're saved. Those disciples were disturbed for a few moments until Judas was exposed and then they were relieved. Is it exposure of your hypocrisy that you're going to face in the crash? Or are you going to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? And oh, the relief, my sins are forgiven. I have peace with God. I have everlasting life. This is my wholehearted advice to you this morning. Out of pure love, I would say nothing more or nothing less if you were able to give me $1 million. I'm not interested. I want to see you saved. Placed on the way to heaven before I hear of your crash. Will you accept Christ? Will you receive him now? You've got a heart just as treacherous as you. Don't let it deceive you. Come to Christ. He loved you. He died for you. Accept him now. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before thee. We ask thy blessing on thy precious holy word. May hearts today receive the Savior. How the devil makes himself known in meetings like this, and he whispers human to human hearts like he whispers to Peter, to Judas, to betray the Lord. That same subtle, sinister voice is here today telling men and women to put it up. Don't do it now. Hoping the crash will come and they're unsafe. Oh, that thy Holy Spirit's voice may be heard. And hearts will yield to Christ. They'll have that divine relief, that assurance. I'm saved. I'm on the way to God grant it. For Christ's sake.